And now the inspection begins.
New Zealanders will know that His Excellency is the first New Zealander to achieve appointment as Governor General of New Zealand. Born and educated in Whanganui and taking university studies at the Otago Medical School, Sir Arthur Porritt was a Rhodes Scholar who then went to Magdalen College, Oxford, where he achieved high academic distinctions, and later in his career was appointed Sergeant Surgeon to Her Majesty the Queen. He is, however, also a distinguished athlete and captained New Zealand Olympic teams in Paris in 1924, in Amsterdam in 1928, and managed the New Zealand team in Berlin in 1936. He was also at the first of these Olympic Games, a 100 meters bronze medalist.
The music being played for the inspection is Pageantry, composed by Leo Stanley, which is the music frequently played on these occasions. The Royal Guard is made up of 100 men from HMNZS Otago, two officers, two petty officers, and 96 ratings. You'll notice that many of the ratings seem quite young. In fact, the average age is about 20. They're wearing their summer whites, and the number 100 men is significant. There's Sir Arthur Porritt chatting to one of the ratings. 100 men is actually the largest guard paraded in a service ceremonial. Any larger number would have no formal ceremonial meaning.
About 15 of the members of the guard are Māoris. Some 13 or 14 come from this Bay of Islands area.
As the men have semi-automatic L1 A1 rifles.
As you can observe, His Excellency is wearing the insignia of his several orders of knighthood, the badge of a baronet, the badge of a knight grand cross of the Order of St. Michael and St. George, the badge of a knight of the Venerable Order of St. John of Jerusalem, and the insignia of a knight of the Royal Victorian Order.
A little moment of informality in an otherwise formal occasion, a chat to one of the ratings. Sir Arthur Porritt, the Governor-General, on the left, and on the right is the Officer of the Guard, Lieutenant Commander G.J. Burke. Behind Sir Arthur is the Commodore Auckland, Commodore Carr, and then at the rear, and standing now next to Commodore Carr, is the aide to His Excellency, Captain S.P. Meredith Hardy of the Lifeguards. And now His Excellency, now accompanied by the Director of Music for the Royal New Zealand Navy, Lieutenant Commander McLean, MBE, DSM, LRAM, RNZN, moves towards the band and will inspect the front rank of the band. There's a general picture of the scene, the 100 men of the Royal Guard. Then we have the flagstaff party at the base of the flagstaff itself. And there are the drummers of the band. And there are 8 drummers altogether. And this year is the second time that drummers from the Women's Royal New Zealand Naval Service Volunteer Drum Corps have taken part in the Waitangi celebrations. Sir Arthur with something else to say to one of the wrens who tonight is taking part in the band's performance here in the Bay of Islands. Now the inspection is over. His Excellency is returning to his chair, accompanied by the Commodore Auckland, also at the same time with Lieutenant Commander McLean, Director of Music, and his aide-de-camp. And when he reaches his chair, the royal guard will turn about to face the flagstaff. The royal guard will then shoulder arms. The bugles will sound the alert. There'll be a general salute. The royal guard will present arms, and the band plays the national anthem. On the first note of the national anthem, we shall also hear the saluting battery firing the 21-gun salute, the first gun to coincide with the first note of the national anthem. During this part of the ceremony, the Union flag will be hoisted to the truck of the flagstaff, the top of the flagstaff. Already the white ensign is hanging on the gaff.
And ready!
And so in a moment, the national anthem. The mobile saluting battery from the Royal Naval Armament Depot, Kauri Point. The shore battery under the control of Lieutenant Commander J.J. Mayer. And they use the portable saluting battery, specially made for this purpose in the Navy, three guns, manned by one chief petty officer and six able seamen. And the governor saluting. The governor will continue the salute until the ending of the firing of the 21-gun salute. Now the Maori ceremonial party will shortly move in to take up a position across the arena in front of the saluting dais facing the Treaty House. The officer of the guard, Lieutenant Commander Burke, is now moving to the front of the Royal Guard. And these men certainly make a splendid sight in this, their white uniforms against this beautiful background as dusk quietly falls in the Bay of Islands. This significant day in the history of New Zealand, Waitangi Day in 1968, is now being shown simultaneously on the television network throughout the country. There we have the Maori ceremonial party moving in to their position, facing the Treaty House. And there are members of the official party, which tonight comprises His Excellency the Governor General, Sir Arthur Powell, Her Excellency Lady Powell, the Honourable Duncan McIntyre, Minister of Lands, and Mrs. McIntyre, the Chief of Naval Staff, Rear Admiral J. O'Connell Ross, and Mrs. Ross, Mr. J.C. Henry, the Reverend R. Rogers, senior Maori minister of Methodist Church based in Hamilton, the lady-in-waiting, the Commodore Auckland, Commodore Carr, and the two aides. And now the bouquet is being presented to Her Excellency by Moana Kurarangi of the Whakatohia Group. And it's been certainly a very big night for Moana Kurarangi, with leading the Pōwhiri and then later presenting the bouquet to Her Excellency. Now the Royal Guard and band, followed by the Flagstaff Party, have marched off temporarily from the arena to the assembly area to prepare for the sunset ceremony. There is the band of the Royal New Zealand Navy just marching off just at the bottom of the screen now. And there are the Whakatohia Māori group paying special compliments to the official party with the poi takiri takiri. The first speaker this evening at the ceremony will be Mr. J.C. Henare, DSO, CBE of Motutau.
Mr. Henare is a member of the Waitangi Trust Board and will speak on behalf of the Māori people. He is indeed a direct descendant of the Māori chieftain, Rāwhiti, who signed the treaty first in 1840. Well known to many in the 2nd New Zealand Expeditionary Force as a former commander of the 28th Māori Battalion in 1945 and 1946, Mr. Henare is now farming. He is the son of Mr. Tō Henare, a former MP and intimately concerned with the scheme for building the great meeting house here on the lawn of Waitangi.
Notice the designs on the bodices of the women in the Māori ceremonial group differ in design. This is because they come from a number of groups, from a Potiki, from the Bay of Plenty, from the East Coast, and from a nucleus of two local cultural groups, the Waiweka Youth Club and the Ngā Potiki Club. Now, as the dusk falls even more and the evening slightly darkens in the Bay of Islands, the floodlights gradually coming on, and just showing now on the scene, giving that added luster to the scene here on this historic spot. Formal touch as Lady Porritt handed the bouquet presented to her by Moana Kurarangi, first to Miss Brassey, Lady in Waiting, and then taken eventually by Miss Joanna Porritt, her daughter. And there are the lights coming on around the beaches, the three beaches of Paihia. The Māori group splits now into two groups across the treaty grounds as Mr. J.C. Henare walks forward to the saluting dais to speak on this occasion of Waitangi. On the completion of his address, he will return to his chair, passing through the lane formed by the Māori party. Mr. J.C. Henare, DSO, CBE.
Your Excellencies, the Honourable Mr. McIntyre, Members of Parliament, Your Excellencies of the Diplomatic Corps, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, may I crave your indulgence for just a brief moment, as I would like to address my people in my mother tongue. Te tai toke rau, te nā koutou e taune. Ngāiwi o te motu, te nā koutou e taune I runga I te marae tapu, o tātou mātua, o tātou tūpuna. Te iwi Māori, putanoa te motu, e noho mai nei o tātou marae kāinga, e hokāta mai nei ngā mahi, o tēnei ahiahi, I runga I tō koutou marae, te nā koutou, te nā koutou, te nā koutou. Tēnei te mihi nei kia koutou ki te iwi Māori, mō koutou I haere mai te rā nei, I te whakanui, I te rā tapu, I te marae tapu, te wāhi haina te ai, te tiriti o Waitangi. Te tai toke rau, tēnei te mihi nei kia koutou, e manaaki nei I ngā iwi o te motu. Mā wai koe hoki, e manaaki ngā iwi o te motu. Mā urā, ma te tai toke rau. I haina tia te tiriti o Waitangi, hiroto I āko I te taitoke rau, ā kā hora ki te motu katoa. Ka eke mai te motu, ki runga I a tāua, mā tāua e manaaki, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, he te taitoke rau. Aha kō tātou porarutanga, e pai anna, waihoana te tangata, kia kōrero nei ona hokāro, riria te riri, ā kā u ki te pai. E harai te mea kā roa ngā mihi kia koutou. He oi noko te whakatau poto atu ia koutou, katatū mai nei, he rungo o Waitangi. Your Excellencies, on behalf of the Maori people, it gives me much pleasure in extending to Your Excellency, Your Gracious Lady, and your daughter, a very warm and sincere welcome on this your first official visit to Waitangi. It is both fitting and proper that the first official welcome by the Maori people be accorded you on this historic and hallowed spot. New Zealand has given birth to many distinguished sons and daughters. We welcome you home as the most distinguished, occupying, as you do, the highest position in the land as Her Majesty the Queen's representative. We pray that your term of office in your native land be a rewarding and most enjoyable one. Welcome, then, thrice welcome. May I have the honour, sir, of respectfully requesting Your Excellency to convey to the Queen the affection and undivided loyalty of her Maori people. To your predecessor, Sir Bernard Ferguson, Lady Ferguson, and their son, Geordie, our greetings and good wishes. We are gathered here this evening to celebrate the 128th anniversary of the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi and the birth of a nation, our nation. The removal by legislation of certain and difficult obstacles to full equality with a Pākehā sometimes ruffles otherwise calm Maori waters. The Maori has grown up, and indeed, all New Zealanders have grown up, for we witness on this historic spot the first New Zealander to occupy such a high position as our Governor General. I need hardly remind the Maori of the fact that when we accept privileges, we must also accept responsibilities. I am confident that the Maori will rise above himself and continue to take his place and play his full part in celebrating the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi. The treaty is sacrosanct. Let us keep it that way. Let the Maori people be worthy descendants of their illustrious ancestors who ceded sovereignty of these islands to Her Majesty Queen Victoria. In conclusion, it is the fervent hope of the Maori people that Waitangi Day be made New Zealand's National Day. We hope and pray that government and our several provinces will consider this matter very earnestly. Thank you.
That was Mr. J.C. Henare, DSO CBE of Motutau, giving the first speech of the three speakers this evening. A compliment to the speech will be delivered by the members of the Whakatohea group.
performed as a complement to the speech by Mr. J.C. Henare, and performed very, very ably indeed by members of the Whakatohea Māori group.
And now moving forward, for the next speech of the evening, is the Honourable Duncan McIntyre, DSO, CBEED, Minister of Lands, a farmer in the Hawke's Bay, and the former commander of the 21st Battalion in Italy and the occupation force in Japan, and the post-war brigadier for the New Zealand forces. The Honourable Duncan McIntyre.
Your Excellency and Lady Pirat, Excellencies, my parliamentary colleagues, the Minister of Health, the Minister of Marine, my parliamentary colleagues, members of the Waitangi Trust Board, members of the Whakatohea Party from Opotiki, who have before us this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, could I first take this opportunity of thanking you, the members of the Whakatohea Party, for coming here to Waitangi today and for giving us this magnificent rendition of the Māori traditions. Last year, Waitangi Day was a special occasion. It was the first official farewell of a very well-loved Governor-General. This, the 128th celebration of Waitangi Day, is another special day because we welcome a new Governor-General and his lady, and as a day it is especially significant because he is a Kiwi. We welcome you, Sir Arthur. I bring you all apologies from the Prime Minister and Mrs. Holyoake, who had planned to be here, but who were called away at short notice. Also, I bring apologies from the Honourable Ralph Hannon, the Minister of Māori Affairs, who has been caught up with celebrations by the Supreme Court. Both send you their greetings. For myself, I am delighted to be here to return to North Auckland, as it is now called Northland, to revisit Hokianga, the jewel of Northland, to re-meet the people that I knew in the past, and to have a look at this wonderful piece of New Zealand, to see how it has prospered, how it has progressed, and where it is going. This today is an occasion in which we should all again give thanks to Lord and Lady Bledisloe for the gift that they made to this nation, New Zealand, which was the catalyst of reminding us what Waitangi Day can mean to us all. The gift of this piece of land to we, the people of New Zealand, by those two people, revitalized what had become just a significant piece of history into something which is today alive in New Zealand's history and has a message with it. The message is that we remind ourselves that on February the 6th in 1840, Governor Hobson, here on this very spot, met with 46 of the paramount chiefs of the northern portion of New Zealand, and there are descendants of theirs here today, and first signed the Treaty of Waitangi, which decided the future of this land. By June of that year, this treaty had been taken throughout New Zealand, and 512 chiefs had signed it. It even was signed in the South Island. By so doing, the Māoris accepted British rule and the protection that the Crown could give. They accepted the rights and privileges as British subjects, and they accepted British law, a thing which had been forced upon the Scots 100 years before. The British government set out to found a colony on a just footing, determined to prevent exploitation. The result, a new land, a new concept, and a nation born. Since then, there have been many trials and tribulations, arguments and fights, but I would ask you to consider what family doesn't have its problems, and what husband doesn't finally answer his wife back. The course was set to produce the land which we here today know, and which we have come to be very proud of as New Zealanders. Today, instead of fighting, we stand side by side in a common purpose. And Māori and Pākehā, over the last half century, have stood side by side and fought to protect this beautiful country. In 1932, because Lord Bledisloe gave this piece of land to the nation, a deed was signed, and this area was set aside. It was preserved for all time for the future for we New Zealanders. Since then, that piece of land has been improved, and today there is a thriving farm. There is a fine forest, and there are recreation areas. And as I look into the future of the Waitangi Trust Board, with this trust that has been thrust upon them, I like to think that someday, perhaps, they might take on the care and the maintenance of some of the wonderful areas that are in the Bay of Islands of such historic interest to the Māori people and to we, the Pākehā. The beaches, the islands, and the spots which are known to many should be preserved for the generations to come. On this spot, 128 years ago, a new nation was created. In its early days, it was troubled. In recent times, it has been threatened. I am sure that its future is assured if we all realize that we have a continuing responsibility to work for and with each other. Waitangi Day will continue to be the symbol of our nationhood. We stand proud to remember the spirit of Waitangi and the words spoken by Hobson, "He iwi kotahi tatau." We are one people.
That was the Honourable Duncan McIntyre, DSO, CBE, ED, Minister of Lands, who now walks back to rejoin the official party, and the Māori ceremonial party will now proceed to the compliments to the speech as they move now together to form one group.